Hi, welcome to the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris. We give you the edge to be 1% better every day. And today we're going to give into a little bit of a heavy topic of alcohol and addiction and things like that. Just to preface this just a little bit, neither my guest today or I are therapists. We're just a couple guys having a conversation to say what worked for him. And remember, not what worked for him works for everybody. So without further ado, my guest today is Johnny Joy from Mountain Country.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And what we're going to do is I'm just going to let him explain a little bit about himself, his journey, and hopefully it helps some of you guys out there. So Welcome on, Johnny.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah. Johnny Joy, co-host of the Morning Routine right here. Well, not right here on Mountain Country, but right here in Colorado Springs on Mountain Country. And I'm a fourth-generation native of Colorado Springs. I, pretty normal upbringing. I mean, nothing. When you think of addiction, you know, you might think like, oh, there's these huge tragedies and abandonment. And, you know, I mean, it came from a semi-broken family, but mom raised both my sister and I on a single mom's budget. She did a great job. You know, dad took off when I was about eight. He got remarried and found himself a new wife with two new kids. And so that left my sister and I. My sister was 4 years, a little older than that, older than me. She suffered a little bit more of a brunt of that, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But yeah, growing up, I mean, I went to District 12, which is considered the rich kids school here in Colorado. I was one of the poor kids that went to the rich kids school. And it was really a pretty normal upbringing. My mom loved me as much as any woman can. She provided all the things she possibly could. I was a straight C student. I wasn't exemplary in anything besides art. I loved art and I loved theater. Those were like my two passions. Sports wasn't my thing. I was raised by my mom, my sister, and my grandma pretty much. So, you know, I can't throw a perfect spiral football, but I can tell you what your girl means when she says she's not mad at you. That's a different story for a different day. What I kind of stumbled into my world of addiction and alcoholism ended up being about a 15-year journey that I suffered from. And it really, I can base it around the trauma that happened in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And we can certainly get to that whenever that time comes. But to me, that's where the alcoholism and addiction really started. It didn't start when I was, 12 years old and I tried to sip my mom's wine that was on the counter, which is the case for some people. They say, the heavens shine down a great light. That wasn't for me. Mine was slow going. I've always, before radio, I was always in restaurants or hospitality. Hotels, bars, restaurants, that kind of thing. And so it kind of comes with a lifestyle. I was a bartender for almost a decade, making a ton of money. And along with a ton of money comes a ton of booze, and a ton of women, and a ton of drugs, and really weird hours. And then you add a bunch of emotional trauma onto that. And that's where the addiction piece starts. And so for me, it was like the snowball, but it was really small for a long time. But when that sucker picked up speed, man, it got real serious real fast. By the time I got sober when I was about 35 years old, so March 15th of this year will be 8 years.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. By the end, I was drinking 8 bottles of wine a day, a 12-pack, plus taking 4 milligrams of Xanax every single day.
That's a heavy cocktail right there, brother.
Yeah. I mean, full liver failure, kidney failure. I was on death's doorstep. I'd been hospitalized 5 separate times, in county detox 3 separate times, multiple DUIs, so it's serious. And it's not just the brown bag guy you think about at Acacia Park. I had at the time a 5-bedroom house. I had 3 cars, one of them a classic sports car in the garage. I had all the things.
All the things.
But there was a mess in between my ears.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who don't know Johnny, if you've never met him before, he's probably one of the most upbeat, positive individuals I think I've ever met in my life.
Wow, thank you.
One of those dudes you met and you're just like, have you ever had a bad day in your life? Right?
Yeah, and that's what I love too. People say, well, yeah, I bet you don't even know what it's like to have a bad day. And I'm like, well, I can tell you about taking my sister off life support.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you about taking my cousin off life support. Mm-hmm. I can tell you about my father dying a year after all of that, that I was trying to make amends with. Mm-hmm. Never got a chance to do that. I can tell you about a lot of things.
Well, we're going to get into all that. So I really appreciate you having on. But right now we're going to take a little commercial break and you're going to want to hold on so you can hear more about this guy's story, because I just pray that it reaches somebody and helps them out. So you're listening to The Cerebral Edge, Power Talk 1040. Welcome back to the Cerebral Edge, and I'm your host, Coach Chris, today. And today we have my good friend Johnny Joy on, and we're talking about a little bit something different today. Normally it's health and fitness, but I think there's something that's been plaguing the city for sure, especially since COVID, with lockdowns and things like that, and where we saw a huge spike in a lot of alcoholism, addiction,
overdoses,
all that stuff. And I think that has a huge tie-in with health and fitness and getting yourself back and better, right?
Yes.
And again, neither Johnny or myself are therapists. We're just a couple guys having a conversation on how he got through his struggle of addiction. And I'm really hoping that this reaches somebody out there and helps make them a little bit better. So I talked about habits a few episodes ago. And basically, what one of the things I talked about was identity and changing your identity. And one of the coolest things that when I was talking to Johnny about him changing his perspective of becoming a non-alcoholic or whatever you want to call it now.
Sober.
Was that he changed his identity from calling himself an alcoholic. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. And again, thank you for having me. And you're absolutely right, because with COVID, I mean, the amount of addiction that we've seen and overdose deaths has skyrocketed. Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a hugely popular venue for a lot of alcoholics, that took a massive hit too, because what they deal with is having the togetherness. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to do that on Zoom and you're still alone in your house, you know, that was incredibly hard for a lot of people. So so very important point to bring up. Now, one of the signature things about Alcoholics Anonymous that I've always struggled with, you know, and I know that there are others out there that struggle with Alcoholics Anonymous. One, they think there's a stigma behind it saying, well, I don't want people to know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's one of the first things you have to be able to get through, is to tell people, I've got a problem, but I'm working on making myself better. Anybody that doesn't support that piece of you,
right,
get them out of your life immediately.
Absolutely.
You know, but for me, every single day, no matter if I was one day sober or 8 years sober or some of these folks that still go to AA after 25 years, the first thing you have to do is identify yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm Johnny and I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
And that just kept rubbing me the wrong way, because I don't want to say that I'm an alcoholic.
It almost feels like you're whipping yourself.
Yes.
Right?
And it's, but like, I'm also an amazing father. I'm an incredible husband. You know, I'm pretty decent on the radio. I'm a good friend. I help a lot of people, you know, when I can. I'm a great dog owner. You know, I'm a lot of things besides being an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic, but right now I am so much more. And I think that's what is so paramount when it comes to the discussion of addiction, is who are you now and who do you want to become? Mm-hmm. You know, if you just say, well, you know, I've always been a drinker and all, you know, it's going to be really tough. Well, then don't even give it a crack at it, because you're identifying yourself as a drinker.
Right.
If you take your identity and say, this is who I was, you can't hope for a better past. Stop trying that. But you got your entire future set. This is what I was, but this is who I want to become.
Yeah.
You know, and always be chasing that, chasing someone you want to become.
Yeah. Did you hear that, folks? Changing your identity is a huge key to that piece, right?
Yeah.
I talk about that with fitness journey, all that stuff. When I sit somebody down, when they come to me for a fitness journey, which is a little bit different, but same concept,
sure,
is that I'm like, you have to see yourself as an athlete if you want this program to succeed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So same thing that you're talking about, right? Who do you want to become?
Right.
That's a huge piece to that.
Yeah. What's your goal? Mm-hmm. If you always want to identify as an alcoholic, well, then that's how you're going to identify. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for me, and this isn't something that just happened overnight.
No.
You know, again, my journey to addiction, when I was 24, I was just at a bar having a beer up in Denver, a place called Rock Bottom, ironically enough. And I get a phone call, and it was from my aunt. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just having lunch up here in Denver. That's where I was living at the time. She said, you need to get down here. I said, down to the Springs? Why? What's up? She's like, you just need to get down here. And I said, what's going on? She's like, it's Julie, my sister. Mm. And I said, what's going on? You just need to get down here. What's wrong with Julie? Just come down here. I said, is she alive? Please just come down here.
Mm.
And I don't really remember the drive down. I remember getting my Nissan Stanza at the time up to probably 110 miles an hour and rushing into Penrose, Maine. And walking into the room and seeing every hose and every wire coming off my sister, my only sibling, you know, my best friend. She was 28 at the time. She had a master's degree. She was a teacher.
Wow.
And she was screwing around with some fentanyl. Had no idea. It was a fentanyl patch. Had no idea. You know,
really?
she went through a lot of trauma with my father. My father left when she was 13 years old. That's really tough for a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of abandonment issues. She was engaged five different times to five different guys. So she had this knot between her ears she could never quite untangle. Mm-hmm. And so painkillers was her thing.
Yeah.
And she put a couple fentanyl patches on, not realizing how strong they were. She passed out on her back, choked on her own vomit.
Ugh.
You know, and 4 days later, my mom and I had to make the call and take her off life support.
What a tough decision.
Yeah. So when go back to your point that we discussed earlier in the show about have you ever had a bad day? Yeah. Yeah, I've had a real bad day. And I hope to God that is the worst day I ever have. You know?
Yeah.
I hope that that's it because that one was a rough one. So now in comparison in my life, I can't say that my life is any tougher than yours.
Right.
That I'm stronger than you because your worst day is your worst day.
Right.
I get that. But yeah, now in comparison, I can say, you know, me getting a flat tire, yeah.
Right.
Nah.
Doesn't seem like such a big deal anymore, does
right,
it?
Right,
right. Right.
You know, and that's, again, how you identify, you know?
Yeah. Going back, talking about, you know, your worst day you've had, right? So far, mine was a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Where my brother actually lost a battle to addiction, and not in a way that you would think.
Right.
What happened was, is basically his body was so deteriorated from the drugs that he caught pneumonia, and he could not fight it. Right. So eventually, same thing happened to him. He just went to the hospital. I got the call. Hey, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't make it because he was in another state.
Sure.
And I'm here. So there was just no way I could make it. But one thing that's gotten me through a lot is the Rocky movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there was a, in Rocky Balboa, I believe it was, where he goes, "Life ain't all sunshine and rainbows. Life will knock you down and keep you to your knees if you let it, right?
Yeah.
But it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up,
right?
Which I think is a huge part to your story too, right? Because you've probably been knocked down to the, like you said, the bottom of the barrel, rock bottom. But guess what? You can fight your way out of it and you can get back up.
Yeah. And that's you know, exactly what you talk about. I mean, your style of fitness is not just about lifting weights and becoming swole. It's about using the brain.
Right.
Cerebral edge. That's what it's about. And that was me. You know, it was me, you know, for the first time trying to get sober for my ex and trying to get sober for a job and trying to get sober for my mom or my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Once I finally decide that, hey, I am going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to die, you know, and this isn't working anymore. This isn't working for me. Where do I want to go? Who do I want to be? And you just do it. And it's not all going to happen in a day. But I look around, and anyone that meets me now, who I am now, and then I tell my story to, they're like, that doesn't seem possible.
No way.
Yeah. You know, someone that was, you know, a handful of DUIs, three DUIs, and in county detox, and escaping from hospitals, and going to Cedar Springs for a month, all of these things, you don't become a DJ on an award-winning station. You don't have a beautiful wife and a great income and all these benefits and wonderful things that have happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't just happen because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. It takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work. But the time is going to pass either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can decide, woe is me, and continue on a path that does not work, or say, hey, this isn't working.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm not the typical scenario when you think of alcoholism, but I am what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening and you're struggling, or you know someone that's struggling, know that I am what's possible, and you are what's possible, or whoever you love is what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all changing mindset. You know, the bottle for me was my issue.
Mm-hmm.
I used booze and pills and illicit drugs to cover up the pain inside my head. Other people use gambling or sex, or some even use fitness or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our thing. But when you decide that, you know, this isn't working for me anymore, mm-hmm. I need to change my mindset and I want to change my life, it's possible.
Right. And I think a big problem in this country that we do have is people see that end result.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they don't see the stepping stones it took to get there, right?
Well, people are celebrated in public for what they do in private.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite quotes ever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you overestimate what you can do in a year and underestimate what you can do in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because for me to think that 8 years has passed since I was laying in the hospital bed up at Lutheran, you know, I had kind of a conversation with God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember just staring up at the hospital lights on the ceiling and just hearing a voice as loud as you and I are talking right now. It says, it's done.
Nice.
You know, not in an hour, not in 10 minutes. It's done right now.
That's awesome.
You know, and I'm very lucky. And some people don't get that. So allow us to be a voice that says, hey, look, you know, whatever your goal is, whatever your mission is, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's people that can help.
Yeah.
You know, we're able to connect with each other all over the world right now. You know, so why not take that chance?
Right.
Why not take that step?
Yeah, absolutely. That is true. You know, like I said, it's a heavy topic we're discussing today.
But the thing about it being a heavy topic, that's something why this is so important, because the reason I'm so open about my addiction and my recovery, and I'm an open book to anyone, I'll answer any question. Mm-hmm. There's no question that's out of bounds for me, is because everybody in this room and everyone's listening, I guarantee if I say, do you know someone that's been affected by addiction, if it's not you?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you know somebody? Yes. Yeah. We could go to 7-Eleven down the street. We could go to the Pizza Hut in Milwaukee.
Right.
Same deal.
That's,
so why are we having this discussion?
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the things that really affected me, was that, you know, the drugs just didn't affect my brother, right? It was sad that I couldn't call and have a conversation with him.
Yeah, yeah.
That he couldn't get away from it long enough to hang out.
Yeah.
When I would come there to visit.
Yeah.
Right? Because it just had such a grip.
Yeah.
It's almost a possession.
It absolutely is. You know, I mean, when I look back now and think about the stuff that I was doing, you know, I mean, when the physical symptoms set in, and that's where I talk about, you know, addiction being a disease. It's a partially a disease of the brain, but it can become a very physical disease to the point where, you know, me, the guy you know now, was drinking Listerine out of the bottle to stop my hands from shaking so I could get to the liquor store.
Right.
The me you know now woke up in Penrose Hospital where my sister died, and I had two IVs in each arm, and I removed them. Mm-hmm. And ran down the stairwell and walked down to the parking lot, went home, started to drink again. You know, it's a beast.
Right.
But it doesn't take long to slay that beast as far as the physical part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you reach out, whether it be Alcoholics Anonymous, whether it be a friend or a relative. My thing was therapy, was finding somebody that talked real frankly to me.
Mm-hmm.
First time I sat down with him, he says, why can't you pull your head out of your backside? He used more colorful language than that.
Right, no doubt.
And to me, I was just like, okay, let's see what this guy has to say. Because obviously, my best thinking wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and it all comes down to the steps we take and the amount of effort we want to put forth to creating the life we want.
And some of that, we were talking about slaying the dragon, right? Yeah. Maybe you might slay that before an addiction starts.
Yeah.
Maybe if you have some stuff twisted upstairs, maybe go talk to a therapist.
Yeah.
Right?
Because people that drink the way I drank and use the way your brother did, we don't do it because we enjoy the taste and we just want to get a little tipsy.
Right.
You know, I'm jealous of my wife. She can have 1.5 margaritas and be done with it. That doesn't compute with me.
Right.
You know, and that's 90%, 95% of the population can just enjoy a cocktail. That's not how I was wired, because I was trying to cover up something.
Mm-hmm.
And until you untangle that knot between your ears, you're always going to be at the mercy of addiction. Always.
Right. Yeah. Like you used to, like you told me, right?
Yeah.
You're allergic to alcohol.
Yeah.
You break out in handcuffs.
I break out in handcuffs, you know. And I mean, I'm a DJ at a country music station. Do I miss it? Sure. I miss the idea of it.
Right.
I miss the idea of you know, one arm around my girl and a cold beer and the other sitting on the tailgate of my truck, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens to me is blacking out and waking up in another state, like another zip code.
Wow.
You know, that's actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's the romantic idea of using, and then there's the addictive side, you know, and until you take care of that stuff between your ears, I'm telling you, you know, you're going to have a long haul. Same with I'm sure with working out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Until you fix that piece of, your identity and what you're doing it for and all those reasons, you know, most of the time it's going to fail. But this is the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris. He's Johnny Joy. We'll be back right in a second on Power Talk 1040. Welcome back to the Cerebral Edge. And I'm your host, Coach Chris, here with Johnny Joy. I really want to thank you for being on today. And what I want to really get out there is any places or, you know, options for people who are struggling with this, where they can go.
Sure. And here's the big thing. Again, we're not therapists, and always check with your doctor before you start any kind of rehabilitation program. As I'm sure you would know, you wouldn't want someone just to jump into exercise without knowing what they're doing.
Absolutely.
But if you are struggling with addiction, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is not as scary as people think. You're going to be surrounded by other people that are struggling with addiction. You know, it's private and can be a really great resource for a lot of people. You know, rehab is always an option. Rehab tends to be very expensive, and it takes a lot of time. Right now, especially as people are getting back to work, that might not be an option. But if it is, there's a number of great places here in Colorado. University of Colorado Health has a place called CDAR, which I went, absolutely incredible. Again, not cheap, but what's the price tag on your life, really, you know? And therapy. Therapy. If you can find a really good therapist that deals with addiction, you know, that can help untangle that knot between your ears. There's amazing resources, even on Facebook, social media. You can just type in, you know, like sobriety groups. You can zoom into some of these meetings and start to talk to people and see people that have overcome and moved on. If I can be of any assistance, I always offer this no matter what. Feel free. You can call me 719-649-8263. You can email me johnnyjoyradio@gmail.com, and you can find me on social media under Johnny Joy Radio. So, you know, again, if I can be of any assistance, even if it's just for one word, I absolutely will.
That's amazing. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Just gave out his own number, his own email. So if you need help, please reach out to him. It's been amazing to be able to talk with you today.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being so open and honest with everything that you've gone through and how to get through it and just how to be the positive guy that you are today.
Well, and thank you. And I mean, thank you for what you do for all of us at Mountain Country, you know, and for your clients as well, teaching them a whole new way to learn how to cherish this body. I mean, the fact that my body is healed from the damage I did to it is unbelievable.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And I always keep this thing, this has been running since day one, because if you're sitting here like, I wouldn't even know how to get through day one of being sober. Or, you know, well, guess what? It's literally one day at a time, as cliche as that sounds. And today is 2,895 days of day ones. That's just day one. 2,895 times. So you get to two, then you get to three. And before you know it, you'll have 2,895 total drinks I haven't had. You know, started off with one, is now 85,824 drinks.
How much money is that, Johnny?
$467,593.
Wow.
Almost $500,000.
Woo.
So I can tell you, you're not losing out on anything by getting sober. You're not losing out. You can still do all the things that you want to do. You can go to the concerts and the games and the parties. You just have to remove one element. And the one element that's destroying your life might be the alcohol. Replace it with a root beer. And you can still have all the fun, I promise you.
But yeah, that's awesome nuggets. Thanks for being on.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Cerebral Edge. We will catch you next week for another episode.